The median home price in Wisconsin stood at $235,000 in February. And compared to February last year, it pushed up a little over 9%. March numbers, they'll be out later this month. Meanwhile, we get advice on how to navigate a hot housing market this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. So are you looking to buy or sell? Are you preparing for open houses this weekend? What's your strategy with rising mortgage rates? 800-642-1234. David Clark is Executive Associate Dean and Economics Professor at the Marquette University College of Business Administration. He's been a consultant to the Wisconsin Realtors Association for over 20 years. Dave, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Well, lay it out for us. Give us a snapshot of what you see out there, what the status of the housing market is in Wisconsin.
Well, we've been in an environment for a couple of years where we've had a very strong seller's market. And so sellers obviously are in the driver's seat when it comes to negotiations on home sales. We're in a situation where we have very strong demand and pretty weak supply. And so as a consequence, sales have been constrained a bit. We've still had a couple of very strong years of sales. In fact, the last 2 years have been record sales levels. But we're not selling as many homes as we could simply because supply is so thin. And what that's been doing is driving up prices at a very healthy clip. Price increases have typically been in the upper 9 to 10 or 11% range when you're looking at year-over-year changes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're seeing prices rise at a relatively brisk pace, and we are seeing average days on the market decline as a consequence. And then the final side of it is affordability has been going down due to kind of a combination of rising prices and more recently, also rising mortgage rates.
And we're going to get to the lopsidedness of inventory in a moment. But, you know, as you are well aware, all real estate is local. So how much variation do you see in inventory and pricing and activity? Do you see, like, around the six regions of our state? How much variation?
There's not a lot of variation when it comes to the available supply. We had about 2 months of just under 2 months of available supply when we looked at the February figures, 1.9 months to be precise. And a balanced market is one where you have about 6 months of available supply. So we are well below that benchmark. And then if you look at the various regions around the state, they are almost always, in the 1.9 to two month range.
Mm-hmm.
I think the lowest was 1.8 and the highest was 2 months. So it's a phenomena that we're seeing statewide.
Well, as you say, it's a very strong seller's market, yes, but sellers then have to turn around and move somewhere. They have to go somewhere. And that's where I am always like, that's the huh. You know, what happens then? What do you see these sellers doing in this type of really tight market conditions?
So, it used to be the case before this market got so tight that sellers who were selling in urban markets could find more balanced markets in the rural areas, but that's simply not the case right now. So I think that sellers are faced with a bit of a conundrum. Now, if they're moving to renter housing, they can certainly sell their home at a premium price. It'll move quickly, and they can make that transition. But if they're moving within the same market, especially if they're moving within the same market and they want to move from one owner-occupied setting to another one, that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. One advantage that older sellers who then turn around and buy have is that they are likely to have a significant down payment. And so that gives them a bit of an advantage when it comes to how they fashion their offer. And that's because they can go in with a strong down payment. They're more likely to be able to qualify for financing. Given that they can sell their homes relatively quickly, they can frequently go in with offers that don't have significant contingencies associated with them. So, I mean, there is a little bit of an advantage for those
downsizers. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Talking with Dave Clark about the economics of housing, what he sees out there with the data, professor of economics at Marquette University, consultant to the Wisconsin Realtors Association for decades. You can join in on the market and your situation with housing and the house hunt, 800-642-1234. I'm super eager to pick your brain about this one, as you mentioned about moving out to rural areas. You know, the sudden rise of working from home, so many jobs going fully remote, perhaps forever, which has the potential to change what home buyers want and where they live. What impact do you think that is having on what you're seeing out there?
Well, that's probably one of the reasons why inventories aren't differing between the different regions of the state. The households that want to move to a more remote setting that aren't tied to the location of a job, that opens up those other areas. There is a constraining factor, though, and that's internet availability. And, mm-hmm. and so if broadband is more limited in a particular area, that's going to put those housing markets at a bit of a disadvantage from the perspective of attracting buyers. It's easier to continue to work full time when you're at greater distances from a job site when remote working is an option.
You know, that's that almighty broadband, and I can just hear the prospective buyer getting out of the car. How is your signal strength here? Do I have any signal? And that can be make or break, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It's nice to go on vacation. We always like to stay connected. And I think anyone that's traveled in the northern part of the state recognizes there are certain areas where it's difficult to get an internet signal.
So give us some historical knowledge here. How does this type of seller's market compare to others in recent history or, over the recent decades?
Well, this is certainly a stretch where we have seen very tight housing markets for an extended period of time. And we've had periods where we've had solid seller's markets. We've certainly seen periods where demand has been strong. This is a period where we have kind of a combination of both of those situations. So when you look back at the 1980s, for example, we had an awful lot of pent-up demand coming out of the double-dip recession that existed in the early 80s. There was existing supply, but the supply itself was a little bit weak. Right now, our supply is very weak.
Super weak.
Yeah. So I think we're unique in the time period in which we've been living with this seller's market and with the depth of it. I mean, if a 6-month market is a balanced market and we're at 1.9 months, that is a very strong seller's market. I can't imagine it getting much tighter than that.
Marquette economist Dave Clark giving his assessment of our state housing market trends there. Inventory. Are the prices in inventory making you hold off right now. What do you want to know about how to buy in these times? Can you tell us about a recent offer you made, what you learned? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dave Clark here on the Ideas Network. Buying a house in Wisconsin, getting more expensive by the day. Mortgage rates rising sharply as we enter the traditional spring home buying season. We're getting practical tips, some insight on market data on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Are you saving for a down payment? Did you waive the home inspection contingency in your offer? What has your agent told you about making your offer stand out? Did you recently buy or sell? What did you go through? 800-642-1234. Marquette University economics professor Dave Clark with us for about 8 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller. Tim is with us from Madison. Tim, hi.
Hi. So I got a question, I guess. So lately in the news, you've been seeing that companies and corporations have been buying up properties. And here around Madison, I noticed a lot of signs that saying that they'll buy your house at any price. So I'm curious to know how much of the stock is being eaten up by the people, obviously, that have lots of money to spend versus your average homeowner.
Great, great question, Tim. Thank you.
So I think that if we look nationally, the role of speculative buyers and sellers is certainly a strong influence. I think in the state of Wisconsin, the amount of speculative buying and selling that's taking place is more muted. With that said, though, that certainly does play a role. These are typically companies that are trying to flip houses, and so to the extent that they are buying up housing and not flipping them quickly, that keeps them off the market. On the other hand, they lose money when they don't flip a house in a timely fashion, and so it may well not have the detrimental effects that you might suspect if they are efficiently doing those flips.
Tim, thanks. And along these lines, let's bring on Lisa in Madison. Lisa, hi. What are your observations? What would you like to ask?
Yeah, that was certainly the gist of my question, too, that there seems to be players in the market that we don't normally see. One is the companies that are engaged in speculative real estate. We're also seeing an influx, I think, of immigrants, people who are discovering that they can work remotely. Some of the communities in Wisconsin are looking appealing, and they find real estate here to be a lot more reasonably priced than in the markets they left. I don't know what the implications of this are. I read the Port Washington, the Sheboygan papers, and I can't even get the ads in the paper. Every one of them is marked off, you know, offer pending, sold, almost every one of them.
So the sales are happening so fast, even it seems before they get advertised, is what I'm hearing with you. Oh,
exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Dave Clark, do you have any insight there?
Well, I mean, that's a consequence of the tight supply. I do think that the supply situation will improve, at least in terms of months of inventory, because I think demand is going to diminish somewhat modestly. And that's primarily as a result of higher mortgage rates. That will also, given that the market won't be as tight as it is, that will likely lead to slightly less pressure on prices. They're still going to go up. The question is, will they continue to go up at 9, 10, 11%? That will probably help that a little bit. But demand is strong. It'll continue to be strong because you have an entire you have the millennial and older Gen Xers that are currently in the market, and you have baby boomers who are staying healthy longer. We're a pretty healthy generation, and so as a consequence, They're not necessarily putting their homes on the market at the time that previous generations would have done so. They're staying put, and so, you know, the market's going to be tight for a while. It will probably soften a little bit this year, but only moderately.
You mentioned mortgage rates; they're shooting up rather quickly. That's supposed to cool off the housing market a little bit. Do you think the sharp rise in any way will have an effect on what you're seeing out there in Wisconsin's housing markets?
No, I think I certainly think it will. Okay. I think that its primary impact is going to be on the demand side. There are households that qualify for mortgages when they're in the low 3% range that will not qualify when they are in the right now they're at 4.72%, at least if you look at the 30-year fixed rate mortgage as of yesterday, and that's more than a percent and a half above where we were this time last year. So that is going to have an effect, and they're going to continue to rise. I mean, the Fed has been very clear that they fully intend to continue to raise short run rates. That does put pressure on long run rates, at least in the near term. And that's because there are certain mortgage rates that those that are in the adjustable rate range that are tied to inflation, or tied to those short-term rates.
Yes.
The real goal here, though, is to tame inflation
because here's the thing with inflation, though. If you compare, like, in the context of the roughly 8%. Consumer inflation we're seeing out there and say a 4.5% mortgage interest rate, that is actually a pretty decent deal. And if you lock in, it could shield you from wherever this like topsy-turvy roller coaster thing is taking us. So, what do you make of that?
Well, what will drive mortgage rates up are inflationary expectations. Mm-hmm. So as long as we can keep those expectations relatively low, and they've been in the 2-3% range over the course of a couple of decades, those mortgage rates will not get pushed up further. To the extent, though, that lenders are looking at the rates the inflation rates now and speculating that long term those rates are going to be in the 4-6% range, that has to get built into mortgage rates. And that's where you end up with mortgage rates that end up that are in the 7-9% range as opposed to the 2-4% range.
Dave Clark with us, economics professor, Marquette University. You know, here's my concern, with the rising rates, could that possibly make it more expensive for home builders to get up new housing stock? And also, what about the people who are completely priced out of this hot market, that their rent burden will go up even higher? Those are my fears on this economy, what we're seeing. You know, what are your thoughts there?
Well, those are legitimate concerns. I think the bigger issue for builders is our supply chain issues and labor shortages, because an awful lot of the people who are buying new homes are in fact trading up, and so their financial circumstances are different from those first time buyers. But those first time buyers who ultimately are priced out of the housing market are going to continue to face higher rent prices. Certainly, an awful lot of those inflationary pressures are hitting the supply side of the housing market. That includes the rental market, and so that's certainly a very legitimate concern.
About a minute to go here. Housing bubble? Yes, no. What's your take there? Hot take.
Yeah, I don't believe we are poised or on the precipice of a bubble. The circumstances that led to the bubble at the end of the Great Recession were very different. We were making loans to people who really were very much at the margin in terms of their ability to service those loans. We have very healthy down payments Now, all buyers, the median down payment for 2021 was 12%. Mm. That's a far cry from those individuals who were putting very little down and got caught in a very bad situation as a result of the Great Recession.
Dave, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
David Clark is Executive Associate Dean and Economics Professor in Marquette University's College of Business Administration. And for disclosure, Marquette University College of Business Administration is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just ahead, we get tips from a pair of realtors based in the Eau Claire area and the Greater Madison area, fielding your questions about listings, inventory, offers, closings. Talk directly to agents, 800-642-1234. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're getting home buying tips with advice from two agents here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Are you rushing to buy now, or have the inventory and mortgage rate hikes caused you to pause your search? Are you fixing up to sell? What do you want to know about curb appeal? And what is worth spending money on these days? Join in 800-642-1234. Chance Dickman is realtor with Keller Williams Realty Diversified in La Crosse area, the Cooley region. Chance, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hi, yes. And we also have Patty Eno with us, realtor with RE/MAX serving the Cottage Grove area. That's a suburb of Madison. Patty, welcome to you.
Hi, Kate. Thank you.
Hi. So with both of you, we're going to start out with some market conditions where you are. Patty, you first. Give us a report on what you're feeling in the market where you are.
Well, the market is still, it's very hot right now, and it has been. I do believe we're going to see things maybe slow down just a little bit with the rising interest rates, but it's an incredible market, especially for sellers.
So when you say hot, what does that really entail? Like how do the dynamics change for your customers, for your clients?
Well, it really is very difficult right now, unfortunately, for home buyers, because it's the whole supply and demand thing. And we're seeing probably 4 to 6 offers on average per property. And it's a bidding war, and it's difficult right now, you know. And I don't want to be negative. I mean, we're still selling lots of properties, but it can be a little challenging. And buyer fatigue is definitely real.
Mm, buyer fatigue. Chance, what are you experiencing in your region, La Crosse, Eau Claire area?
It's been hot per se for a good year and a half, 2 years now, where there's not a lot of inventory. There's a lot of buyers. Interest rates were really low. I mean, still in comparison to 5 to 10 years ago, even though we're seeing rates kind of climb into the mid to upper fours and with some buyers, you know, that's still an incredibly low rate, you know, in comparison to what the housing market used to be and not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, our inventory is flying off. It's a matter of a day, 2 days, maybe just a weekend to see showings. And by a Monday morning or a Monday afternoon, the house is contingent. And that is exactly kind of what Patty was saying, is there's this buyer bubble that just kind of starting to pop a little bit, unfortunately, because there are a good amount of buyers out there. There's not a lot of inventory. And after you get denied on 2, 3, 4 homes, it makes you question, you know, are you ever going to get one? And so it is really tough being on the buyer's end of it. But yeah, vice versa. When you're selling and you're selling something pretty good, you're going to get a really good return on it.
So what does this market do to your work life, Chance? I mean, especially trying to stay on top of it and be the best agent you can.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good question. So when I first started into real estate, I'm finishing up my second full year, and I kind of came in right as the boom started. And so this is kind of all I've known. And it has made it tough to work around some of the trials of especially being on the buyer side. But it has also given me an understanding of how to kind of balance being a buyer and a seller agent. And so you just have to kind of grind through it. You know, more often than not, you know, I'm going to have buyers that I'm working with. And so I have to make sure that I'm doing everything in my possible will to help them along the way and try to put them first and not have to worry about me. But yeah, at the end of the day, this is our career and this is how we pay our bills. And, you know, if you're not getting buyers accepted for homes and you're not getting, you know, them to the closing table, yeah, you start to wonder like, okay, how does this work out for me personally? But, you know, when you start putting, you know, other people first and taking into consideration what they want, and if you can get them to the closing table, at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation.
Patty, as Chan says, you just grind through it. How are you keeping up with this pace as these homes go so quickly?
Well, you just get used to, I mean, you're constantly on. And, you know, I agree with Chance. You know, you have to put that client, that buyer in that situation. You have to put them first. And it is, I would say, it's exhausting for the buyer because, you know, Chance said, and I agree with him completely, you know, in some cases you're writing 3-4. And with one buyer I was working with, I actually wrote 5 offers before we had one accepted. And we have to stay positive. You know, we have to keep that optimism to help move them along because we know that if they can do it, it definitely is a good time to buy because interest rates are definitely going up and you can just afford, you have more affordability when interest rates are lower. So it's tough. It can be tough, but this is what we do. This is what we do.
Talking with Patty Eno and Chance Dickman, real estate agents, Patty in the Cottage Grove area. Chance is in the Cooley region. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. So Chance, open houses, I would imagine lots of people going through just to get a glance at a house, or are homes going before the open house? What do you see there?
It's a good question because open houses were almost a thing of the past when COVID hit.
Right.
Of course, you know, so there was, you know, a lot of realtor regions that weren't allowing them. You had to be very limited with how you did it. And maybe Patty's market is a little different than mine in the sense of just, you know, like we're still not seeing a lot of them because of, I mean, I think COVID is still, you know, on people's minds, you know, maybe it's towards the back of their mind now a little bit, but I think COVID still kind of put a little more of a halt to it. And then, yeah, homes are going so fast. And you're seeing so many buyers come through homes these days with agents, you know, where, you know, an open house can kind of help you maybe build some clientele if you have some buyers that come through that maybe aren't necessarily interested just in that property, but finding a home. But at the end of the day, you know, from what I've noticed, an open house almost can delay, you know, getting to getting offers on the table and also getting an accepted offer quicker. Cause some of my sellers are just like, yeah, I want to know the offers right away. You know, I don't want to wait till, you know, Monday after the weekend, like let me know right away. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, we try to advise however is best and kind of suited for them. And so if we want to host an open house on a Saturday, well, we may have gotten 3 offers on Thursday or 2 offers on Friday. And, you know, I think right now for the clientele I've been with, they haven't been too fond of wanting an open house. They want buyers in there and they want buyers to offer and they want to accept something as soon as they can.
Oh, Patty, your take on open houses. What do you see?
Oh, well, it's been a while since I've done an open house because just like Chance said, you know, the homes are, sellers are already getting offers before we even make it to the open house. And if we do get to an open house, I mean, you've got a line of people around the block, you know, basically a little exaggeration there, but, and I have to say many sellers, they really want to just be done. They don't want 50, 60 couples coming through the home.
Traipsing through. I see.
That's right. That's right.
If it could be done more easily. And so that really also leaves these buyers in a position of, do they get to see the property that they're putting an offer in on?
Well, a lot of times, you know, we are writing offers sight unseen. And, you know, I do put verbiage in there that protects the buyer that they do have the right to see it after an accepted offer. But I have written a few where completely sight unseen and they move forward with it, especially buyers coming from out of state. They don't have the opportunity to see it. So, but you are able to see a virtual tour, usually online, but you don't get to see everything. So that's just how the market is now.
Chance, have you gone through that sight unseen offers?
When my wife and I moved home from California, beginning of 2020, we bought our house and I didn't see it until we walked in for a walkthrough on closing day. So it's a little different because obviously she got to see it. But it's just kind of the way of the world right now is that you do have a lot of relocation going on because you have people wanting to move. People get to work from home, so they want to maybe work from, you know, live somewhere else. And yeah, you do get to see, or you do see that probably more often than not now in comparison to what it used to be, where, yeah, somebody will just say, hey, can you FaceTime me while you're at a home? And do you want to, you know, maybe write an offer, even though you only saw it via my cell phone or online pictures? And so, yeah, it can be kind of challenging, but that's just what you have to almost do anymore to be competitive as a buyer. You might have to write an offer and you've never stepped foot in it.
It's just so the biggest purchase of your life and you're just going out on a limb. That feeling you must have felt the first time you walked through your home. That must have been a huge mix of emotions.
It was a rush. Yeah, I did not know we had a fire pit in the background or in the backyard. I didn't know how big the garage was. I didn't know what our basement situation really was because the people we bought it from had a lot of stuff down there. Yeah, you walk in, you go, okay, all right, well, this is the house, and it's worked out wonderfully. I did have one situation with a sight unseen this last year, and it did work out well. But you know, you hold your breath, and I'm sure Patty can allude to this. Is like, you know, you feel a lot of weight on your shoulders as the realtor that goes to see the property when you're showing it, you know, by just FaceTime or whatever you end up using, Zoom, trying to explain, you know, it's one thing to see a picture of a room, but like, how does it feel? How tall is it?
Using all your senses.
Yeah, you have to explain literally everything about the house that you can see and hope to God that if they do go to closing table and once they walk in and it's their house that you did a good enough job explaining.
Pair of real estate agents sharing their take on the housing market out there. Chance Dickman in the La Crosse area, Patty Eno, suburbs of Madison. Your thoughts, your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute, more conversation on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're sharing our experiences in the housing market in Wisconsin. We bought 2018, have done some pre-pandemic and pandemic era renovations, i.e. the home office, right? Refinanced early last year when those mortgage rates hit historic lows. Now we're just watching, waiting, paying it down. What's your housing story? 800-642-1234. We have real estate agents Patty Eno and Chance Dickman. They stay with us for about 9 more minutes. Kevin is with us in Deerfield. Kevin, hi. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I don't know if you've covered this, but I was just wondering what you see is really driving this hot market other than low interest rates. Are there particular industries that are creating a lot of employment and good paying jobs, or, you know, what? And then also the limited supply. Are there particular factors that, you know, is it harder for developers to build new houses? Or and then lastly, I'm also interested in what you're seeing in on rural properties that maybe have some acreage.
Kevin, thank you. Patty, can you tackle some of that?
Well, as far as building new homes, we're definitely seeing, you know, builders are building, but with supply shortages and rising prices, you know, it's making it difficult for the home builders to build as well. The other part of that question, I believe, was what's causing it? And it really comes down to supply and demand. We do not have the supply. And part of that is a lot of the millennials are at the age now where they are moving into purchasing their first home. And you know, I think that's primarily one of the big factors. And then the crash in 08, when the housing market crashed, you know, we had a surplus of inventory, and that is just not the case now. So just like anything, you know, if you do not have the supply, but you have the demand, it's going to increase prices.
Chance, any thoughts there on Kevin and what he unfolded?
Yeah, and that's what her last point, Patty's last point is exactly why there is a little bit of a difference between then and what happened and now and what people think is going to happen or are anticipating, is that there just is not a lot of there's just not a lot of supply out there, whether you're talking about homes or you're talking about materials to build homes. Because, you know, at the end of the day too, if you're selling a home, well, what are you doing after that? You're probably buying, right? Well, then the shoe is on the other foot. And now you have to be the one that may have to spend a lot of money to get into a home and then be in the competitive market, you know, even though you're from the seller side. And then the other thing I want to say too is that building materials are so expensive because supply is so down, and it's hard to get in, you know, it's hard to get supplies now, that I've even noticed, I had a couple of buyers last year who were set to want land. Land is also, you know, just keeps creeping up as far as its value and how much you have to pay for acreage. To also kind of answer a little bit of his question is just, you know, rural communities, you know, are seeing spike in prices because acreage is also going up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you have to be the seller and then turn into a buyer that needs to either buy a house or buy land to build, you know, the couple of buyers I had last year, the cheaper route was actually to spend a lot of money in the housing market rather than building, because their building prices went from maybe a mid 250 or a mid 200 to you know, maybe low three build, to all of a sudden they're paying, you know, $400,000 or more.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, their new build. So it's like, gosh, you know, whether you pick your poison. You want to spend a lot while you build, or you want to spend a lot on a home that somebody else owned first that you're going to probably have to really be competitive with your offer on.
Let's go to Michael now in Bear Valley. Michael, hi. What would you like to ask?
Hello. I have a question. We are going to be selling our home, and we're concerned about showing it to people who might not be qualified in terms of, you know, being able to get financing or not. And I wonder if you all had any advice as to how we could screen people, show it to people who only had financing. Is there any way of doing that other than
pre-approved? Right. Michael, thank you. Patty, go ahead.
Well, I would say that, you know, if you're working with a realtor, it would be up to the realtor to make sure that those people are pre-approved. And you could request to see proof of that they definitely are pre-approved with a lender.
All right. Chance, any thoughts there on assuring that the people who go through do have that financing ready to go?
Patty took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay.
If you're working with a realtor, that's the reason why you have a realtor. Is to make sure of things like that are taken care of, and that you're in the best, you know, best possible spot as a seller to make sure that the buyers coming in are reputable and those that can fulfill a contract from point A to point B, which is closing. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the best thing you can do is have, you know, another set of eyes, ears, hands to take a look at all of that for you.
Dan in Beaver Dam wants to know, what do buyers and sellers need when they're looking to get that house? Is it cash that buyers need when they're putting together their offer? Patty, let's look at the offers in particular.
Well, I've written a lot of offers in the past years, and right now you do have to be a little bit more creative when writing those offers, whatever that might be. We're seeing a lot of post-occupancy, you know, which means the seller can, well, I'm kind of getting off track here. But as far as being creative with writing offers, that's where it comes down to winning the offer. It's not always about money, but, you know, a big chunk of it is money. And yes, cash offers do typically win. But it is also the contingencies, waiving inspections, which I know sounds really scary, and putting an appraisal gap in there where if the home doesn't appraise, the buyer is willing to bring those additional funds to the closing table.
Hmm. Chance, any suggestions there on making that offer and what that buyer really needs to stand out?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody has $500,000 of cash, yeah, they're probably going to be sitting pretty well when it comes to offers, you know, on any gamut of your housing range. But exactly what she said with contingencies, you know, sellers want the easiest route from acceptance to closing. And so it's about limiting the number of hurdles they have to jump over and hoops you have to jump through. And more often than not, especially I'm seeing, and I'm sure Patty just alluded to it, and I'm sure she's seeing it and writing the same thing, is you're almost not winning offers when you have contingencies in there, like a home inspection. You know, a lot of sellers these days are getting home inspections done before the offer, so that, or before they list, so that you can take a look at it, see what might need to be done when you possibly start living there, or maybe you want to write that in. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, you want to almost give as clean build of an offer as you can, so that the seller goes, okay, how much money? Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's it. Great. And that's kind of what it is.
We're out of time, but I have a yes, no question. Curb appeal. Yes, no. Patty, do you need it?
Oh, definitely.
And Chance, definitely. How important is that curb appeal still?
Yes.
Yes.
If it looks good, it's going to sell good.
Oh, thank you so much for both of you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Real estate agents Patty Eno, REMAX, serving the Cottage Grove area, Madison suburbs, Chance Dickman, Keller Williams Realty Diversified in the La Crosse area. Earlier, we talked with Marquette University economist David Clark about what he sees out there. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.